Let us now open the Word of God first in the Old Testament in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30 and then from the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 1. Deuteronomy 30 and 1 Corinthians 1. Deuteronomy chapter 30, this is the Word of God. Now it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice, according to all that I command you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. If any of you are driven out to the farthest parts under heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you. Then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. Also, the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecute you. And you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abound in all the work of your hands, in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, as he rejoiced over your fathers, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. That's our Old Testament passage. We now turn to 1 Corinthians 1. and read to verses 18 through 25. 1 Corinthians 1. Starting at verse 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Those are our scripture passages on which also our confession is based. As we continue our series on the Heidelberg Catechism and have come to Lord's Day 25, page 32 in the back of our Psalter hymnal, page 32. The sacraments, it says as a heading. There are the following questions and answers we find. You confess that by faith alone you share in Christ and all his blessings. Where does that faith come from? The Holy Spirit produces it in our hearts by the preaching of the Holy Gospel and confirms it through our use of the Holy Sacraments. What are sacraments? Sacraments are holy signs and seals for us to see. They were instituted by God so that by our use of them, he might make us understand more clearly the promise of the gospel and might put his seal on that promise. And this is God's gospel promise, to forgive our sins and give us eternal life by grace alone because of Christ's one sacrifice finished on the cross. Are both the word and the sacraments then intended to focus our faith on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? Right. In the gospel, the Holy Spirit teaches us, and through the holy sacraments, he assures us that our entire salvation rests on Christ's one sacrifice for us on the cross. How many sacraments did Christ institute in the New Testament? Two, baptism and the Lord's Supper. That's Lord's Day 25. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the Heidelberg Catechism, brothers and sisters, our focus has been on faith this far. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in the second part of the Heidelberg Catechism, which speaks about our deliverance. Our deliverance in the only Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll continue with that too. For our whole life circles around our faith in Jesus Christ. Without faith, we are lost hopelessly. That's why Lord's Day 25 is such an important Lord's Day. Since then, faith alone makes us share in Christ and all his benefits Where does this faith come from? Lord's Day 25 inquires about the origin of our faith. Then we see that the Lord's Days that are following speak about the sacraments, about baptism and the Lord's Supper. However, then we don't just speak about the sacraments. No, we do so because we are dealing with the question about the origin of our faith. What is this origin? Faith comes from the Holy Spirit who works it in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel, the proclamation of God's word, that is, and who subsequently confirms it, strengthens this faith by the use of the sacraments. So that's what I may proclaim. The Holy Spirit makes us believe in the only Savior, Jesus Christ. He works this faith in us. Our first point, he strengthens this faith in us. Our second point, the Holy Spirit makes us believe in the only Savior, Jesus Christ. And then we see, first of all, the Holy Spirit works this faith in us. It is very important, brothers and sisters, that we don't turn our attention to the sacraments right away. Even though Lord's Day 25 is the first Lord's Day about the sacraments, as the heading indicates. For the sacraments in themselves don't tell us too much. Besides, we can speak about the sacraments in two totally different ways. That's happened throughout the history of the church. There's on the one hand the idea that there is a special power in the sacraments, in those sacraments themselves. That's the idea which became prevalent in the Roman Catholic Church so much. As long as you get the sacraments administered to you, for the preaching is not by far as important. That's why the pulpit is moved to the side or is absent altogether. Surprising as that may be, that same idea can be observed among us as well. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we don't want to miss the worship service, for that produces special powers, or so we think. However, when the sacrament of holy baptism is administered, this presence doesn't play a role as much. Is that perhaps because you participate personally in the celebration of the Lord's Supper while baptism is administered to someone else? On the other hand, brothers and sisters, we can observe in the history of the church an approach which reminds us especially of the Anabaptists in the time of the Great Reformation. They emphasized the work of the Holy Spirit, especially to us personally, directly. The word and the preaching of the word may play a role in it. However, the sacraments are only outward things and even less important. This idea as well recurs in the history of the church under different guises. And this idea is not foreign to us either. It's expressed sometimes when people celebrate the Lord's Supper, but they don't notice anything. They don't feel anything special. They would like it to be different for their faith, but then, it's only a sacrament. In view of these observations, beloved, it's very important that we pay close attention to what we confess in Lord's Day 25. As I said already, we can't speak about the sacraments properly if we do not start at the beginning. The question, first and foremost, is a question about our faith. We should know very well, first of all, what that is. Our faith. When we speak about faith, we shouldn't do that in the way many people speak about it. Even unbelievers speak about faith. For instance, they speak about all the misery in this world which is caused by faith, by all those faiths. Other people don't want to be considered heathens, but consider themselves Christians of some sort. I'm a believer too, you know, they would say. However, what they believe, that's not so important, or they can't express very well. That's why it's so important that we start at the beginning, the way the Heidelberg Catechism does. Where does this faith come from? This faith. So not faith in general, no, this faith. Why is that so important? Well, as the Catechism puts it, since faith alone makes us share in Christ and all his benefits. So when we are speaking about our faith, brothers and sisters, we're speaking about it individually, personally. That's speaking about my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it would probably be better for us to be speaking about the faith in Jesus Christ. I am a believer. Yes, a believer in Jesus Christ. That would help a lot in making things clearer instead of this vagueness in speaking about faith. That would be better, especially in the midst of a world in which there are so many religions and even so many factions among the so-called Christendom. Let's start at the beginning. Let's not be mistaken about the sacraments. Neither should we focus too much on ourselves or on our faith. Central here should be the Lord Jesus Christ. We should focus our attention first of all on the Holy Spirit of Christ, for he works our faith. It's his work, God's work. So when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved, then that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Faith is not our work, a work of our mind, our feelings. It's his work. That may be difficult to understand, for we say, I believe. Or, when I believe, then I do it, right? Yet, it is the work of the Holy Spirit. Also, if it is the work of the Holy Spirit, when did he do that work? I never noticed anything of it, that he worked faith in me. Still, that's how it is. Faith is not and never will be my own work. We confess that the Holy Spirit works faith in us, which means then at the same time that we should be very thankful that we do believe. Are we? Are we thankful indeed? So often we take it for granted that we believe, that we belong to Christ. However, if we do, we may do well to examine ourselves whether we truly believe or not, whether we are true Christians or not, not only a name, but truly, really. Our faith and the only Savior, Jesus Christ, beloved, is not something normal or common that it may be taken for granted. It is a very special gift, a gift from God, a gift that's worked by the Holy Spirit, and a gift for which we must pray the Holy Spirit every day. That's what we read in the scriptures about this faith. That's what the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 1:17. I quote, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints." In chapter 2, verse 8, Paul says, "This faith is not from us. It is the gift of God." Also in his epistle to the Philippians, Paul writes, "For it has been granted to you, given to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him." Philippians 1:29. We owe our faith to God, and therefore our thankfulness for such grace as well. Indeed, it's his free grace. People, therefore, who do not thank him for it or who do not ask him for it are therefore people who jeopardize their life while they don't know the joy of faith. We learn the same, brothers and sisters, from the passage we read together in Deuteronomy chapter 30. That's where Moses addresses the people of Israel at the time of their arrival at the border of Canaan. Then Moses is not allowed to enter the promised land with them, yet he does give along with them the will of the Lord for their life in the land. They would be blessed in the promised land when they would keep the law of God. Moses also places the curses of the law before them, showing them what terrible things would happen if they would forsake and leave the Lord their God. That is, when they would not believe in him any longer, then it would not be well with them, but they would be dispersed or destroyed. However, if they then would groan under the curse and return to the Lord, he would show compassion to them. Yes, and then we read in verse 6 that then he would circumcise their hearts and the hearts of their descendants so that they would love the Lord their God with all their heart and all their soul and live. That's how he is, beloved. The Lord, their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He is compassionate and merciful. Time and again, he forgives the guilt of his people. Every time again, he showed them his love, his faithfulness. He himself would make new people of them, give them a new heart and circumcise their heart by cutting out the sins from their hearts. That would happen thanks to him and him alone. That's how he worked out their deliverance. That's how we learn about his work of salvation in our life. It shows us not only how necessary that is, but also that it is impossible for us to save ourselves. Yes, he showed us the greatness of his love and mercy in that he gave his only begotten Son for the salvation of our life. He gave us his Holy Spirit that he would renew our heart and give us a believing heart. So, how does the Holy Spirit work the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts, beloved? We don't notice it, right? We don't feel anything, do we? That may be so, yet we know God makes us hear his words. In it, he speaks to us. He does so through the proclamation of the Holy Gospel, the ministry of the Word. Therefore, if we want to speak about the sacraments, we must speak first and foremost about the eternal Word of God. For what it is all about is our faith in Jesus Christ. That is, it is about our faith in God's Word, which speaks about the love of God, about God's only begotten Son, that is our Savior. Let's therefore realize what that's all about, beloved. It is the Word of God, not just the Word of men. It is the Word of God, which makes the devil shudder, because they know its power. The Word of God created heaven and earth. The words of men, however powerful, will be forgotten sooner or later. But the Word of God abides. It will never be forgotten. The Word of God abides, even though devils and principalities try to banish it. The Word of God abides, even though governments and false religions persecute its believers, or modern theories and theologies undermine the truth. Yes, the powers that raise themselves against the Lord and the conspiracies plotted against God's holy Word are strong and manifold, yet the Word of God abides. For it is eternal. For us also, there are the dangers of habit and complacency which could affect our attention for this Word of God. Yet God's Word abides and will not return empty. It will be a blessing or a curse. The Holy Spirit, we confess, beloved, works faith by the preaching of the gospel. Though not by the minister and his gifts, but by the Spirit and his power. Do you know it again, what that means? It's the proclamation of the great and glorious deeds of God, of his love, of his works of salvation for his people. Do you believe? Do you want to believe? Then listen to the Word of God as it comes to you in the preaching from Sunday to Sunday. That is the Word of God that is proclaimed to the ends of the earth. That's how the Holy Spirit works faith. People who love to hear it will thank God for it. People who truly believe it will accept the work of God who circumcises their heart and cuts away the sins from their life. People who don't care to listen to it, who think they can just skip this glorious proclamation whenever they don't feel like it, are showing their unbelief and jeopardize their life and salvation. And such people cannot be strengthened by the sacraments either. God, however, is faithful in his promises that he will work the faith by the working of his Holy Spirit and strengthen it by the use of the sacraments. Which brings us to our second point, the Holy Spirit strengthens this faith in us. So what are the sacraments? That's an important question, beloved. At the same time, another question is coming to us. How is our faith strengthened? How does that work? Or better, how does the Holy Spirit do this? Then we may be thankful for the clear answer that's given in our confession. Sacraments are no mysterious things. They are not a kind of a remedy which contains some kind of potion, so that you could say, as long as I swallow it, it will be all right with my faith, even if I don't understand it or cannot comprehend it with my mind. Sacraments are no useless acts either, which actually don't mean much or help much. Just a nice practice. No, sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals. They portray something. They portray the Word of God. They do so in a very simple and succinct manner. That's why people who don't know the Word of God cannot understand them either. At the same time, they are seals. By the sacraments, the Holy Spirit seals to us, assures to us, confirms to us the truth of the Word of God. His sincerity, the genuineness of His words to us. The Lord Jesus instituted baptism at a time when He gave His disciples their great commission. That's when He had finished His work of salvation, and He sent His disciples into the world to proclaim that great news. The Lord Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper in the night when He was about to sacrifice Himself for our salvation. Baptism and the Lord's Supper are both signs and seals. They came in the place of the sacraments the Lord had instituted in the Old Testament, circumcision with Abraham as a sign of the covenant and Passover at the time of the Exodus. The Lord gave the sacraments, we confess, so that by their use He might the more clearly, the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel. Israel should not forget God's mighty deeds of deliverance. In his farewell speech, Moses held up to God's people his love, his deliverance. He did so in order that they would live in thankfulness to the Lord, responding to his great love with a sincere and wholehearted love for him. That's what Moses proclaimed as the gospel, which had to be believed. The sacraments reminded them of this, lest they would forget. Now, for his New Testament church, brothers and sisters, God's word has become gospel even more. How great is his love for his people! How great his deliverance of his people! His faithfulness and truth are absolutely reliable. That's the gospel which he wants to declare and seal more clearly yet, more fully yet. For the Old Testament people of Israel, it was the promise of Canaan, the promise that they would live with the Lord as his special people, which was confirmed. And for us, well, the Heidelberg Catechism spells that out very specifically yet too, that God graciously grants us forgiveness of sins and everlasting life because of the one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. Beloved, would people who don't listen to the gospel, who don't really pay attention to the promises, would they have faith in Christ? Would their non-faith in Christ be strengthened by the sacraments? People who don't really care for the promises of the gospel, who don't give thanks every day to the Lord for his gift of Jesus Christ, such people won't benefit from the sacraments either. For the sacraments portray him and his sacrifice. Rather, by the sacraments, the Holy Spirit shows very simply and succinctly and yet very clearly what he is saying in his word. It's all about Jesus Christ and his work of salvation from sin. That's how Moses had to deal with it already, brothers and sisters. The outward circumcision wasn't it. Rather, it was the circumcision of the heart, the cutting away of man's sins by God himself, which was the promise of the gospel. That's how we have to see the sacraments as well. They portray the promise of the cleansing of our soul, the sacrifice made on the cross for our sins. Hence, the sign of the water and the sign of the bread and wine assure us of this cleansing of our soul. They seal to us the communion we have with Christ. People, however, who haven't learned from the Word of God how great their sins and misery are, people who don't take the law of God seriously, such people don't really know what the promise of the gospel is all about either. They don't know what God proclaims to us in his words, namely how great his work of salvation is, how great our deliverance from sin is. Such people won't be able to be thankful either. They won't benefit from the sacraments, for the sacraments themselves don't do anything. The Holy Spirit works by his word, and then also by means of the sacraments. He does it. The Holy Spirit, beloved, strengthens our faith by the use of the sacraments. Does that mean that the babies who are baptized must use it? No, they don't, until they have come to the age of understanding. That's when the parents must instruct them in the riches of the promises of the gospel, signified by baptism. Then who should use the sacraments when they are administered? The whole congregation should, as the confirmation of the word. That's why the word is proclaimed first, and then it is confirmed by the administration of the sacraments. Yes, even in the forms, it's important to see that the word is given in summary, and then the administration takes place. Thus, when we use our baptism, we remind ourselves of our baptism, of the meaning of our baptism, of the promise sealed in our baptism. It's the same with our use of the Lord's Supper. That's not a matter of our participation of the supper 4 or 6 times a year. It's a matter of our whole life. Then the question is the promise of God's grace and salvation in Jesus Christ, the promise signified and sealed in the Lord's Supper. Are you living from that promise every day, every hour? Are you living from his grace when you are in church and when you are at home, at your work or in your sickbed, in your Bible study or in your sports activity? The heart of the matter, brothers and sisters, is the question. What are you doing with the proclamation of the Word of God? What impact does the gospel of salvation in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ have on your life? Then the sacraments serve to encourage you. Remember? Remember and believe the promise of God's grace in Jesus Christ. Then the thought of your baptism and the thoughts about the celebration of the Lord's Supper reassure you of God's love and faithfulness toward you. The sacraments point you to the heart of the gospel. They show you the heart of God in His love for you. Believers who so work with the Word as proclaimed from week to week, and who so use the sacraments, the Holy Spirit will certainly strengthen in their faith. They desire to live for God's love. They will pray that God Himself will circumcise their heart, cleanse their soul, and renew their spirit in order that they may live in love to the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their strength, now and forever. Amen.